Christian poet Gideon Hugh writes, "The entrance to heaven is not a pearly gate to be prized open by the stale, rigid bodies of the devout. The way to the divine is endless and everywhere, and you can stagger through hand in hand with the rejects and the vagabonds, laughing your ungodly socks off." I don't know if you had the same experience I did, but somewhere along the way, I was given the impression that following Jesus was most about being serious and reserved and as rule-following as you possibly could be. Obviously, that was not going to work out well for me. And I'm not sure when that started, but there was something in me that consistently felt like following Jesus meant less fun, because fun was frivolous. And this Jesus thing, now that's serious. To hold fast to this image, you of course have to ignore Jesus' insistence that kids be welcomed, because they find a way to make silliness out of anything. We'd have to skip over the parts about Jesus being accused of having too much fun with those people, the ones who consistently get side-eye from every good law-abiding religious person. And we'd have to skip over today's story, Jesus turning water into wine, good wine, abundant wedding wine. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, God, because you are the reason we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. Why, Jesus, one of my favorite authors asks, why do you do these strange things? Of all the miracles that could have shaped the opening narrative of John's gospel, we start with this strange story of Jesus showing up late to a wedding feast where they have run out of wine. His mom is the one who lets him know. Now, weddings in Jesus' day were not like, you know, a quick service and a four-hour ceremony. You had to travel a long way, so they took a long time. You would get there, and you'd be there for days, having meals and celebrations, time together. Mary, Jesus' mother, gives Jesus one of those, come on, dude, you know what to do, kind of directives. And we hear Jesus kind of push back against her, but do you notice he does it anyway? Jesus may be God in the flesh, but he's also still a child who heard his mama tell him to do something. This may be the original source for the term voluntold. Now, did you notice what Jesus used to hold all that wine? It wasn't just any old thing. He didn't say, grab whatever you can. It's the stone jars that were used for ritual purification. Jesus literally uses the containers for washing your hands, for ritual purification, as the basis for this miracle of extravagance. This would have been the center of ritual purity practices in a household, and Jesus takes those, fills them up with any old water, and turns that into wine. Now, good religious folks like me may have wanted Jesus to turn that water into a nice tall glass of hellfire and brimstone. Or maybe at least a glass of biblical platitudes for Monday through Saturday, right? That'd be a wedding keepsake to save some souls. But Jesus shows up mid-feast and demonstrates the kingdom of God better than any spoken sermon ever could. I'm no wine connoisseur, but there is something about good wine that is utterly out of human control. Wine grapes, like a lot of agricultural products, are highly subject to wind and to weather, to changes in the temperature or the sun or that kind of fluke freeze that happens around here every once in a while. High quality wine, then, is a palpable reminder that the best stuff that we get to eat and drink and experience in this life is mostly the result of God's goodness. things we can't control. I can't make it rain and I can't make it warmer. I can't make plants grow or grapes thrive. But I can taste when a tomato was grown with love and in just the right conditions. And just as I take another bite of that best tomato ever, I begin to grieve, right? Because I can't make this happen again, and it's gonna be gone. Jesus turns the water for ritual purity into wine, and not just any old wine. The best wine the head steward had tasted. Jesus turns the water into more wine than we could possibly imagine. This is a ridiculous amount, okay? It doesn't matter how many people were at this party. It's like there were like 1,000 bottles here, right? This is gallons. Jesus lives this Old Testament image out in front of us, this ridiculous overflowing image of wine that we see in Amos and in Joel, showing these folks that the kingdom of God is like this. It isn't just words. The kingdom of God, you can taste. It's a party that doesn't end. Now, it's important to note that this miracle is not about blessed drunkenness. Lots of us know the hell of addiction that can be created in our worlds and the worlds of people that we love. No, this is about a God who meets us in our utterly human lives and shows us that God continually invites us to more. Will Willimon, a United Methodist bishop and also a foul-mouthed preacher, points out, we dress up and engage in revelry because parties offer a respite from the dull, humdrum world that we live in Monday through Friday. But in all his partying, Jesus rejects a temporary respite from this world. He shows them instead a glimpse of this world healed, finished, redeemed, and restored to what God intended. Jesus is giving the world a foretaste of the messianic banquet yet to be. This is what reality will be, not just on a Saturday night, but for all of eternity. Not just for a fortunate few, but for everybody once God gets God's way. Can you hear the abundance? Can you hear God's invitation to an abundant joy that doesn't run out? Can you hear Jesus inviting us and others throughout the gospel to a party, a feast, a banquet? Can you see God's kingdom as an experience of joy that heals and celebrates, loves and hopes with laughs so deep that it starts to make your belly hurt? This is the image of the kingdom. No matter how bold or ridiculous, foreign or naive it may appear in our broken world. And all of this seems nice, sitting here in our Sunday best, in a beautiful sanctuary. But we don't have to look far in our world to find utterly unkingdom life. Close to this time last week, a hate-fueled young man drove to a Tops Friendly Market. Literally, friendly is in the name. A grocery store in Buffalo that served a much bigger purpose than simply another grocery stop. He intentionally sought to kill and destroy black folks' lives right in a place that had been a source of joy and connection. For a long time, that neighborhood was much like a lot of Sanford is, a food desert. A food desert is a place where you're isolated from access to a grocery store, especially if you don't have transportation. The people of this neighborhood in Buffalo petitioned and worked together to get a grocery store into their community, and they were proud of it. So when he killed retirees shopping for Sunday dinner, he also killed a great source of joy and food, connection and hope for the community. Many are grieving loved ones, and they're also back to having to figure out where they're going to buy groceries to keep food on the table. This stark image reminds us that we desperately need to see and feel, know, and be changed by Jesus's way of abundance. Y'all, the kingdom of God is not violence fueled by fear of replacement. The kingdom of God is where we live and practice justice, healing, feasts, and God's kind of joy. Those of us who follow Jesus are called to practice God's ways right now. We are called to live out abundance and welcome now. We must be marked by stories like Jesus kicking off his ministry in John's gospel with a party. A place to keep the dancing going and to resist the powers of scarcity and suspicion and hatred. Will Willimon again. There you have it. The kingdom of heaven is a party. This is God's idea of a great time. Revelation says that our destiny is one day to party with Jesus forever, to sit down with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church on Sunday morning, he says, is meant to be the party before the party, the bash that lasts an hour on Sunday to get us warmed up so that we're one day fully able to obey Jesus and party with God and our neighbor forever. Kingdom of God time is party time. You see, friends, joy is an act of resistance against the powers of death and despair in this world, Dr. Jennings says. Jesus knew this. Don't forget, he knew his fate. He knew the kind of world he was walking into. He knew the sin that marked our lives. He knew the violence that we turned to. He knew how difficult this world would be. And of all the ways that Jesus could have chosen to live, to preach, to help us imagine the kingdom of God, here he is showing us joy and abundance. A strange way to oppose hatred in the world, and it is Jesus's way. Joy is an act of resistance against the powers of despair and death in our world. May we resist. May we resist the powers of violence and racism and hatred. May we be part of anticipating God's abundant joy in its fullness. May we be people who begin to practice God's heavenly party today. As we close this series about abundance, abundant life, abundant economy, abundant community, abundant joy, listen to God's invitation to see and to practice a different way. Taste the richness of the food shared by God and the food shared with your neighbor on a countryside. Revel in God's ways of building abundant community amongst a scraggly bunch like us. Bask in the beauty of God's amazing and overflowing grace and seek to live life as a witness to heaven's holy joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.